Hare Krishna. Today, I'd like to talk a little about economics, world economics, despite the fact that I'm no specialist, no scholar in the subject, but as you will see, there are just certain information and obviously historical events that are taking place right at this very moment that indicate that the economic model upon which the modern world is based and in which we live and perhaps many of us are involved in is not a viable one. In Ishopanishad, we have a very clear vision of how people should live. The Lord says that everyone should accept a quota within this world and live according to that quota. And when you do, then you can hope to live for 100 years. The converse of that is that if you don't, then you can't hope to live peacefully for that type of period of time. Neither is, because this is a really economic formula that the Ishopanishad's starting with, neither can you expect spiritual happiness or spiritual perfection. So it's a very interesting introduction into scripture. The scripture starts off by introducing us to economics. Our modern world isn't based on this principle. Our modern world is based upon a completely different principle. The different principle is that everyone should be allowed to have whatever they want. In fact, our consumer society is hoping for that. It's going for that. Everyone should have, if they can. Mercedes would like everybody to buy a Mercedes car. Mac computers are hoping, or Apple is hoping, that everyone owns an Apple computer and wants an Apple computer. In the same way, every other company is trying to advertise and convince everyone to buy their products, and that is what people are being indoctrinated to, that yes, you should buy everything that you want, that you need. Is it above your quota? Well, that's not material. Important thing is that you should just have what you want. So what we have here is a society that is based on greed. Greed means to have that which is not naturally yours. Krishna says, Trividham narakashidam, kama lobha tata krodha. So this lobha, this greed, he says is a gate to hell. So in the same way that the Ishopanishad gives us a way for liberation, an economic formula, Krishna then says, but if you don't follow that formula, if you live on the basis of greed, then the end result is that you're going to go to hell. And that's exactly where we're going. So in our present-day society, people don't wait to see what their quota is. I've finished my education, and now I get a job. And on the basis of my job, I live according to my means, and I have a car according to my means, and I rent an apartment, or I build a house according to my means, and in that way, I let things naturally evolve. No. Immediately what the people do, they have so many aspirations, they have so many desires, because they're never meant never taught that austerity, simple living, or that spiritual life is the priority, but that actually fulfilling material desires, that's the priority. And therefore, everyone immediately wants everything all at once. So they don't want a small car, they immediately want the Mercedes. They don't want a small apartment, they immediately want to buy something. And therefore, what do? They get in debt. They get a loan from the bank. They get a loan from a finance company. And for everything, for your mobile telephone, for your computer, for your car, for your home for anything that you want. In fact, that's what credit cards are all about. Credit cards are about getting into debt and being able to buy everything that you want on the basis that you don't need to pay off the capital. All you need to do is keep on paying the interest. But when you keep on paying the interest, what you end up doing is you keep on paying twice as much money, sometimes even more, maybe a little less, than the actual cost of a certain object, be it a telephone or a home. And so this concept of living in debt means that people are all living beyond their means, not only living beyond their means, but they're in an embarrassed condition. They're slaves. You're a slave. You don't really have any freedom. You make a certain commitment in life, and now you have to just simply pay all of these debts and pay the mortgage, etc., etc., loans that you've taken. It's a humiliating form of life, and it's an addictive form of life. It's a type of addiction because it gives the illusion that it can go on and on and on and on. Now, obviously, it can't go on and on. And it's not only people that live like that, it's also governments that live like that. When you buy a government bond, that means that you're giving the government a loan at a certain interest on the base so that the government can go about doing its business. What is that business? Well, that business is doing something more than what it gets from its taxes. Because the government is entitled to a certain amount of taxes, but it wants to do more. Especially, what does it want to do more? It wants to have atomic bombs. It wants to do so many different other types of things, or thinks that it has an obligation to do so many other types of things. And so the government also gets in debt. And here in Europe, at the present time, we have Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland. Because of these type of debt configurations, governments are in debt. They're collapsing. They're on the verge of bankruptcy because they owe such phenomenal amounts of money and they're not able to actually service these debts. So this concept of living beyond means is the vision or the economic model of the world today. What sparked me to do this podcast in the first place is the day before yesterday on BBC I read this article, and it was an economist in America, and he was talking about the situation here in Europe, and he mentioned a number to me about the amount to which the governments or the total debt, sovereign debt is of the world, in others of different governments of different countries around the world. And that total debt is $280 trillion. Now, $280 trillion right now, we just passed the 7 billion mark in terms of people living on this planet. If you divide 7 billion and $280 trillion, that means $40,000. For every man, woman, and child on this planet, there is a $40,000 debt on their head on the basis of this debt owed by governments worldwide. Debt that they're servicing, they're paying, or trying to service, because if they go bankrupt, they're not going to be able to service. And it's that's why the banks are going bankrupt, because the banks are the ones who are actually providing these loans. And if I was to propose that, for instance, in ISKCON or in Hungarian Yatra, that I was going to run a financial system in which every devotee was, or I was going to borrow money and live in a way that every devotee was $40,000 in debt, I'd get the boot really fast, justifiably. But this is what's going on in the world, and it really gives you a sort of perspective. It's a mind-boggling perspective. The idea that this can just continue going on and on and on just from a complete economic ignoramus like myself is obvious that it can't go on. What to speak of if I analyze it just from the spiritual point of view of what the Lord himself says. Yes, you can live for 100 years if you live according to your means. But if you want to live above your means,
it's going to mean chaos. Ultimately, it's a sinful way of living. Therefore, it can't continue. And it's an economically unviable way of living because it's not in harmony with the laws of nature. So it's something for us devotees to also really consider and take into consideration as to how we are also living.
I don't say that sometimes one cannot take out some kind of short-term loan or a term loan is viable, but it's something else to be entangled in the modern society and the way in which society works, which thrives on cultivating people's greed and misleading them to this idea that everyone can live above their own means. But rather, we should have this simple formula that no, we live within our means, whatever that may mean, and know that this is both good spiritual sense and it also makes good economic sense. And that was the message for today. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna.